I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. I lived in West Africa for 6 years, and with the Ebola outbreak kicking up fears about Africa being a continent laden with lethal germs, I'm reminded of something that puts all this in a little perspective. From personal experience, I can tell you that I encountered in West Africa some of the most conscientious personal hygiene habits I've ever seen, whether it's the women who cook street food and keep a pot of water boiling to clean dirty utensils and plates, or the people who often will buy soap before they buy food. Also, let's not kid ourselves. We Americans may have better medical infrastructure than, say, Liberia or Sierra Leone, but we don't have a spotless record when it comes to hygiene. Just look at the response to the first confirmed U.S. Ebola case in Dallas. It was only today, several days after patient zero was rushed to the hospital, that a contractor was hired to decontaminate the apartment where the patient had been staying. So we may know what the proper steps are to contain the disease, but actually following those steps is not automatic, even in the U.S. For a little more perspective, we asked Dr. Daniel Dikema to join us. He directs the Infectious Diseases Division at the University of Iowa Carver College of Medicine.
I think some of what we're seeing in the media around the reaction in Dallas, as you were alluding to, the cleanup of the contaminated environment where this patient lived, has a lot to do with sort of our preconceived notions and fears about Ebola. But we have a very good knowledge at this point of how to prevent transmission. So I think that it's really getting that message across that's important. The reason it's been so hard to control in certain outbreak areas in Africa really does have to do with a breakdown in infrastructure and unavailability of simple supplies like gloves and gowns and other barriers, you know, even hospital space to care for the patients.
Just give us a little refresher on simple steps for prevention.
This virus is transmitted is by direct contact with an infected patient or with an environment that's been contaminated with their body fluids like vomitus or diarrhea. And so the simple approach is to use gowns and gloves to prevent that direct contact with the patient's secretions that are infectious.
Why do you think the alarm in the mass media kind of feels like it's approaching the alarm in the movie Contagion?
Yeah, it's difficult to make the distinction between a virus that is highly virulent and fatal in many cases, and that, I think, often becomes translated into also highly infectious. But in the case of Ebola, it's not true that it's airborne. It's not true that you can catch it just by being in the same room. It really does require direct contact. But that isn't to minimize, you know, the critical nature of using the right precautions every time. And I think that's where the difference is with Ebola. Any modern U.S. hospital should be able to care for an Ebola patient using the precautions that are outlined by the CDC and the World Health Organization. The caveat is those precautions must be practiced 100% of the time. And, you know, one of the issues that you've read about frequently probably is the fact that half the time we're supposed to wash our hands, we don't. You know, the busy healthcare environment, sometimes healthcare workers forget. For some organisms, you know, that mistake, there's some, you know, there's a forgiving aspect of it in that you don't have such a highly virulent pathogen as Ebola. I think one of the big challenges in the outbreak area is that the conditions are so difficult, hot, long shifts to caring for patients. And then even a simple mistake while you're removing a protective barrier can result in inoculating yourself. So I think the challenge here is making sure that the precautions to prevent transmission, which we know work, are done every time.
Dr. Daniel Dikema, Director of the Infectious Disease Division at the University of Iowa. Thanks very much.
Thank you.